I've been saying this since I've been around Tom, is that he prepares to the max every single week.
Ready to throw. Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
There's still a whole lot of football left in this season, and we got to continue to stack wins.
Allen, going to throw it down the middle. Caught by Diggs. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Almost time for week 14, which includes the Bucs versus the Bills. The Bills looking to bounce back after losing to the Patriots on Monday Night Football. That may be difficult, though, against Tom Brady. Tom Brady's 32-3 career record versus the Bills. The best win percentage by a QB versus a single team since 1950. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Dan there, Marcus there. We've also got Keyshawn Johnson today and Adam Schefter. And, guys, let's begin with the Buccaneers. Tom Brady looking like he's going to add another MVP award to his massive trophy case, right? Touchdown Sunday against the Falcons. Brady is shining when the opposing defense succeeds. He leads all QBs in the league this season in touchdown passes, QBR, yards per dropback on plays where the opposing defense has earned a pass rush win. It's like, what are you going to do with this guy? It doesn't even matter. Let's bring in Bucs reporter Jenna Lane here. And Jenna, a big game here for Tom Brady and these Bucs. What can you tell us about what the team is saying around this one this week?
Yeah, Laura, Tom Brady told me that he thinks this week is their most important game of the season. A lot is at stake for them right now. They're currently sitting in the third seed of the NFC. They're vying, though, for higher seeding. They want home field advantage in the playoffs. And his teammates tell me they can feel that intensity heightened throughout the week. They can feel the ante upped quite a bit. And they also feel, as Brady put it, like their best football is still ahead of them.
I do feel that intensity for sure. I mean, we got a playoff team coming in into our house. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the line, but like any other week, you know, we got to prepare like any other week. But they're a good team. They got a winning record. They got a lot of playmakers. They got a lot of good players on the defensive side of the ball. So it's going to be a pretty intense atmosphere. I would say it's going to be more of like another playoff atmosphere.
And the Bills have allowed the fewest touchdowns of any team in the league this year. Coach Bruce Arians said their speed on defense really stands out, while Mike Evans said the physicality and the way that their DBs communicate on the back end really jumps out to him, even without Tre'Davious White. Evans also said just how much it would mean to him to finally be able to capture the division title. They currently have a 4-game lead in the NFC South, and they can do it this weekend if both the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers either lose or tie.
Interesting. Jenna, it looks slightly nicer where you are than it is here in Bristol, Connecticut. Thanks for joining us.
It's amazing.
I know, right? We love it here. It's going to
snow
today.
Storm.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, one of the things that we saw from Tom Brady against the Falcons is he was just throwing it all over the place. But as the Bucs prepare for this Bills defense, what should the game plan look like this week?
Live in balance and multiplicity until you are afforded to go downfield. Listen, Tom Brady, we all know he's fine. If you need to throw the ball 40 times, he'll make good decisions, even though he's thrown some interceptions in these last few games. But Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, not only handing the ball off to him, but in their checkdowns, the easy access throws. We see Godwin always catching quick throws and throwing it up the field. And then exploit matchups with Rob Gronkowski. Listen, I text Dan during the game. I was like, Dan, how the hell does Rob Gronkowski keep playing like this? When he walks out to the huddle, everybody Sunday, I want you to watch Rob Gronkowski walk to the huddle. It looked like his knees are about to fall out of his legs. And then he ends up open and go for a touchdown. So that is the key for this team, to stay balanced and allow themselves to see what's open.
Well, it's funny you brought up Chris Godwin's name, because I think one of the things that has started to stand out about this offense is it's really the second year for everybody in this offense.
You know, you mentioned the connectivity of this offense. Key, the reality is, if we were trying to sit here and describe the specific identity of this Buccaneers offense every week, you probably can't, right?
That's the beauty of it, Laura, is that every single week they come up with a different game plan. You got to tip your hat off to Byron Leftwich because he puts the game plan together, get it signed off on by Bruce Arians, and then they go out there and they execute it. And when you look at last week's game plan of the New England Patriots against the Buffalo Bills, the weather dictated that game plan. That wasn't necessarily what the Pats wanted to go in there with, but they had that in their back pocket. You look at the Indianapolis Colts and what they were able to do up in Buffalo. Jonathan Taylor rushed for 185 yards and 4 touchdowns. We saw what the New England Patriots did. But if they can have this balance, play action pass game, get the football on the dink and dunk, the screen game, take your shots when you can, but you cannot eliminate the run game, and they'll get out of Tampa with a W.
Yeah, stop me if you've heard this before, but Tom Brady, the top contender to reach the Super Bowl, and it may be including the Patriots, his former team, but versus them, right? The Bucs and the Pats. Look at this. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Buccaneers and Patriots had the second and third best chances, respectively, to take home the Lombardi Trophy. There's a real chance they're playing each other for it. In fact, Bucs-Pats, the most likely Super Bowl matchup. Not a bad spot to be in for New England as they enjoy their bye week. And, man, it's hard to sit here and not think about all the storylines. All right, as for the rest of the AFC, the Chiefs have won 5 straight in a no-lose November after throwing 5 touchdowns in Week 10. Mahomes hasn't thrown one since. The Titans led the conference in Week 10 at 8-2 before losing to the Texans and Patriots, now sit in the AFC's top spot there. And then there's the Ravens, who are the third in the conference and haven't scored 20 or more in a game in over a month. Lamar Jackson spoke about the offensive struggles today.
We left stuff out there on the field. We just got to finish. We were driving the ball on certain drives. We just didn't finish. We got off the field. You know, we were putting ourselves in bad situations, third and long, second and long and stuff. So, you know, that's pretty much how it went throughout the whole game until towards the end.
I mean, Lamar's not saying anything we hadn't been talking about, too, right? They know what's going on here. Key, how should the Ravens go about fixing this offense?
Man, with all those injuries on the offense and the defense and the team in general, it's going to be tough to fix. You kind of just keep it afloat for right now. When you talk about getting production out of the offensive side of the ball, the receivers are still available. When you take a look at this list, look at all the two running backs that are gone. The two receivers are gone. Rashad Bateman never, ever got off at all this season being the number one pick. So when you talk about a team that is struggling on the offensive side of the ball, it starts with the Superman, the guy with the cape, and he's going to be who he is. It's not going to change. He's going to have to carry the team. Now, do I believe they can win the division? Yes, they can win the division. Can they make noise in the playoffs? If they can get some guys back healthy, then they can. If Mark Andrews makes that catch, if he makes that catch in that game, we're not even having this conversation. Mm. We're talking about what a great play it is, all of those sort of things. It did not happen. If he runs through the football, just run through the football, because Lamar Jackson did everything he was supposed to do. He delivered it, but when Andrews turned his shoulders, it slowed him down. They beat Pittsburgh. We're not having this conversation. They're sitting at 9-3, and we're talking about them being the top of the leaderboard in the AFC conference.
Well, I think their pass game needs one word, definition. You guys ever seen the movie Billy Madison?
Yeah.
Okay, and the
good
lunch
movie.
Lady comes in, she's talking about sloppy joes, and she's like, I made extra sloppy for you. That is the Ravens pass game right now. Weeks ago, I talked about the Giants' pass game and the poor spacing. I want you guys to watch these two receivers run essentially to the same location in this pass game. Who do we want Lamar Jackson to throw the football to? Both those guys are running towards the middle of the field. If he throws to either of them, it's going to be interception. There's a guy that's going to sit in the middle of the hash. He's got two defenders hanging outside of him. Now, Lamar, again, covers it up, scrambles around, and makes a play, but the spacing on that play is poor. This next play made me absolutely nuts. I want everyone to get 5 yards into their routes. Where is Lamar supposed to throw? Up top, those guys are 3 yards from each other. At the bottom, those guys are 3 yards from each other. There's nowhere to go. The spacing is so poor. There's such a sloppy aspect of it. There's no definition. There's no structure. There's no rules. Those are two plays. I could have pulled 11 plays in their pass game from this past weekend's game that looked like that.
Wow.
There's a saying, as a receiver, be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and don't fool the quarterback. I'm not absolving Lamar, but there's way too much of them breaking that cardinal rule.
Yeah, look, man, I 100% agree with you, D.O., and I think we at the point of red alert, though.
Ooh.
And you know when it's red alert, it's
wee-oo,
about Lamar.
Wee-oo.
He has to start escaping.
Got a siren?
Yeah. He has to start escaping. Greg Roman has to start moving him in the pocket. The threat of his legs has to become the most prevalent part. And listen, I've seen Lamar hitching in the pocket because of some of what you just showed, trying to figure out where to go with the rock, and then late it come to his mind about taking off. We had the same conversation about Josh Allen going into the New England game.
Yeah.
When you see the window, take off. The first time Josh Allen did it in that game, it was a 17-yard rush on his end. Lamar is going to have to revert back to that. I was the main one screaming.
You said it in the playoff game.
And that's when,
against Tennessee
when he
last
did it,
year, right?
It opened up a lot of things.
Right.
He's going to have to revert back to that because of the attrition and also what's happening in this passing game.
You know, I would think Sloppy Joes have too much spice for
I
you.
I hate Sloppy Joes.
I don't
you like
eat them. I just love the movie.
Oh, okay. I'm glad we cleared
just
that up. We knew he didn't eat him. Yeah, just go ahead and have a burger.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Some big news out of Chicago today is the Bears head coach Matt Nagy told the media Justin Fields will get the start Sunday night. Adam Schefter, what do we know about the decision?
Well, Laura, this is a case where the Bears feel like he's physically ready to go back out there. Not all the pain is gone from Justin Fields. He thinks he can tolerate the rib injury on Sunday night at Green Bay to play against the Green Bay Packers. And they want to start playing their quarterback, getting him developed, getting him the reps. And they figure this would be a great test going into Green Bay. But because he's made enough progress and because he's been medically cleared by the Bears doctors, the Bears feel like he's ready to take over as the starting quarterback Sunday night.
Yeah, certainly an excellent test. More on that in just a minute as we read and react around the league with all the news and a lot of people talking today, starting with Bears QB Justin Fields, who was asked about the news today, and here's what he had to say.
You know, just try to see the game from a different perspective and, you know, seeing it from the sideline, I definitely think you do. So you can kind of just think of different scenarios and kind of, you know, see what the defense is doing. So it was kind of cool just seeing it from a different perspective. But, I mean, the pain's just not unbearable. Like, I know there's going to be pain there, but, I mean, it is what it is. You have three cracked ribs, of course there's going to be pain. So as long as it's just not, like, crazy pain where I can't bear it, I'm going to play in practice.
Reminder, he's played through a lot of pain before, but what advice would you have for Fields heading into Sunday's game with the Packers, Marcus?
Normally, I wouldn't have any because Chicago is about to have a
shakeup, but the fact that this is a division opponent and you get a chance to play in this game, a team that you're going to see for a large majority of your career, Justin Fields can build a lot of confidence against the Green Bay Packers, a defense that's playing really well. And if he can come back and use those things he saw from the sideline and have some success, I think it'll go a long way in his production and maturation process.
Next up, Kansas City, where despite the current 5-game win streak, Patrick Mahomes still has some concerns about that offense. He talked about it today.
As a quarterback, I got to throw the ball in better places. Some of those drops are because the ball is not in the right placement. So if I can get the ball in a better place where it's more catchable, especially when they're in traffic, it'll probably cut down on those numbers. So that has as much to do with me as it does with them. Some of the drop passes, people get hung up on. I mean, even the one in the game that got intercepted, if I throw the ball in a better spot, he makes the catch and probably splits and scores. But I threw it high, hard, and it gets tipped up and picked, and people kind of put it on him, but it's really on me to make a better throw. So, I mean, just for myself, try to make some better throws and let those guys have easier catches, especially in traffic where they can make plays happen after the catch.
Taking genuine responsibility there, but Key, you concerned about the Chiefs' offense in recent weeks?
No, I'm not. Only if Dan was that way when he was a quarterback of the Lions. I think when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and their offense, I'm fine with it. Take the easy money, dink and dunk, get out of there with a W, and you're fine. The defense is playing lights out right now. They're scoring points for them. So, hey, a win is a win is a win. That's the way I look at it.
Let's go to Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, guys. The 49ers QB coming off a loss to the Seahawks on Sunday where he threw two interceptions. Talked about the turnovers this afternoon.
The second interception, definitely. Just I got greedy with it, kind of, you know, put something in my head that I thought it was going to play out a certain way, and, you know, certain things didn't happen on the play, so it played out differently. But I just got greedy with it, and, you know, instead of taking the check down and keep the ball moving, I got greedy.
Dan, what have we seen from the struggles of Jimmy G at times this season?
Well, first of all, he assumes too much. I say this all the time. Quarterbacks can predetermine where they're going with the football. You have to confirm it, but you can't assume something's going to happen. But I'd also say this. Jimmy Garoppolo this past weekend attempted three passes outside the numbers. He completed two of them. The first was with 4 minutes to go in the game. The second was with 3 minutes to go in the game. Too many throws over the middle of the field. And defenses see the same thing I do. And what they're doing is just kind of muddying the middle of the field. It's kind of what we saw happen to Lamar a little bit last year. They got to push the ball to the perimeter more to really think that they're going to have some success in their passing game. But assuming things has been a big issue for Jimmy for a couple years now.
Anyone else think that music just slapped there, like leading into
it
the
did.
Music?
I was I
like that. We were kind of vibing there.
I don't know where we're getting this music from.
It's so wonderful. Good.
I can
playlist.
Myself.
Let's check in on some injuries at the wide receiver position starting in San Francisco. Adam, what do we know about Deebo Samuel?
Laurel, Deebo Samuel did not practice today due to the groin injury that he suffered last week at home against the Minnesota Vikings. And so it was a case where they're still hoping that he'll be back on Sunday at Cincinnati. They need him on the offensive side of the football. But no practice today for Deebo Samuel and no practice today for the running back Elijah Mitchell, who remains in concussion protocol right now. As for the Minnesota Vikings, they've ruled out their wide receiver Adam Thielen, who suffered a high ankle sprain on Sunday. He will not play Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're listing their running back Dalvin Cook as questionable for tomorrow night's game. I still would be surprised if Cook went out there with that shoulder injury, but Thielen already has been ruled out. And as for Julio Jones, he returned to practice today. He had a sleeve on his hamstring, so don't know that he's completely at full strength, but they did say he looked good in practice. They've opened up the window for him to come back. It looks like they could have him as early as Sunday. And as for the Los Angeles Chargers, Keenan Allen tested positive for COVID this week, going to make it very difficult for him to come back and play on Sunday against the New York Giants. Doesn't mean he won't, but there have been very few instances this week in which there was a week when a player tested positive and managed to come back and play that Sunday. TJ Watt did it last week, and now Keenan Allen will attempt to do the same this week.
Some crucial Week 14 games and guys getting healthy and then maybe not getting healthy in some really important spots. We'll keep an eye on that all week here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time is something that cannot be bought. It cannot be wagered with God, and it is not in endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life.
It's V Week at ESPN, and our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. A huge matchup out west on Monday Night Football this week as Matthew Stafford and the Rams head into Arizona to take on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. You don't want to miss this one. Game kicks off at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage starts at 6 Eastern with Monday Night Countdown. And Kyler Murray made a triumphant return in Week 13, throwing for two touchdowns and completing 73% of his passes. His 72.7 completion rate on the season would be the third highest in the NFL in the history of the league if it holds. But the Cardinals' offense has reaped the benefits of his play, right? They're an NFL best 10-2, top five in scoring and red zone efficiency, and I'm not sure if we're even giving them enough credit. Dan, Sunday was the first time in a while that we saw the entire Cardinals offense on the field together. What did you see?
Protection of the throw, and I think that's what Kyler Murray has, and both DeAndre Hopkins, which we've known, but also now Zach Ertz. One guy in the middle of the field and one guy on the outs, but as a quarterback, he's got such great confidence in them because he truly believes those guys are going to protect the throw. Having Zach Ertz in the middle field to work in between those hashes and obviously Hop on the outside, this offense is going to be in a good place pass game-wise.
He said Key would never. Like
I'm
that?
Not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to leave Dan alone today. I'll get him.
No, you're – well, by the way, stay tuned for the next block of the show because I think you might get him there. All right, so, Swagoo, when you think about what you just saw there and just finally, once again, seeing this Cardinals offense on the field together, what comes to mind about this?
Funny, team? You go pass game, I go run game.
and
I think it's something
the
that the Cardinals
well. –
Right. I think it's something that the Cardinals are not getting enough credit for. They are running the ball very effectively, and they're using Kyler to dictate what they want to do to offenses. You look at this little draw and the space that's created because away you have the three sits at the first down marker, and it allowed James Conner to end up on the third level safety before the contact. Here, Kyler, with his action, you have to wait because if it's a pull, I'm responsible for quarterback. By that time, linebacker gets over, it's a 10-yard run. So they're using their quarterback. All right, and we get enamored because Kyler is phenomenal and he makes plays with his legs. But I have to – we said this earlier this year. I got to give Cliff Kingsbury some credit, man. He's evolved this offense. At first, it was Kyler, go out there, see what you can do. All right, now he's using Hop. Going to get Ertz was huge. But in this run game in particular, and people say, zone read, whatever. No, it's a different animal with Kyler Murray at quarterback. Yeah. It tests all defensive rules, and it's holding guys up and making them late, and it's allowing this run game to ascend.
So, Key, we're talking all these great things about the Cardinals. They obviously have the Rams on Monday Night Football. They still have the Cowboys down the stretch here. Are they built to go deep in the playoffs? Because we know that they will be a team that we'll see in the postseason.
You know what, Laura? Much to Marcus, what he just spoke about, they are built to make a strong run in the playoffs. The problem is the youth. How much experience do they have on that roster and coaching staff to understand what the playoffs are all about? And both these guys know what I'm talking about when you talk about the playoffs. The level intensifies. It goes up. When you think about teams like the Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid, it took them a minute. They go to the playoffs, they lose. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers under Coach Dungy, we go to the playoffs, we lose. Sean McVay most recently with the Rams, they go to the playoffs, they lose. You got to take some lumps before you can advance where they're trying to get to. Young teams just don't go to the Super Bowl. They're not handing out Super Bowl trophies like M&Ms, no matter what anybody says. They are a very good football team. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But they haven't been to the playoffs yet.
Key, I like that point because when you talk about the intensity of the playoffs, we got one sample size right now with Arizona and a miscommunication in a playoff-type game against Green Bay. I just want to remind everybody that miscommunication between him and A.J. Green.
In the regular
season. So the intensity is like that every single play in the playoffs.
Interesting. Right. Let's get into some injuries. Some more updates with Adam Schefter. Bad news out of Seattle today regarding Jamal Adams. What do we know, Adam?
Laura, a short time ago, the Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll said that Jamal Adams is undergoing surgery that will end his season on a torn labrum, a big blow to Seattle's defense, losing somebody who's such a physical force, who's such a talented player, but he does need that season-ending shoulder surgery, which is a setback to Seattle's secondary moving forward. In Washington today, Montez Sweat, the pass rusher, was supposed to return to practice after missing the last 4 weeks due to a fractured jaw. However, he tested positive for COVID. As an unvaccinated player, that means he's out 10 days, which means he will not play Sunday against Dallas. And there's a real question as to whether or not he'll be able to play the next week. And Washington also plays tight end Logan Thomas on injured reserve.
How about some news out of the Chargers? You just had an update across Twitter.
Yeah, Mike Williams, the wide receiver, was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So we already know that Keenan Allen tested positive. Now Mike Williams and Chris Harris, the cornerback, both have been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Not good. And speaking of COVID-19 list, Mark Ingram, the Saints running back, also winding up there. So we're seeing a surge here after Thanksgiving with a lot of players. You'll remember on Monday alone, 11 players across the league tested positive. And so here we go with more of that again this week, Laura.
Yeah, and Adam, as you've reported, the NFL kind of expected it, and so they were ramping up their testing. It was expected, but still all these teams dealing with it across the league.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on NFL Live, and hey, at this point, you almost wonder if Aaron Rodgers has a name for his pesky toe that's been bothering him. So much conversation around it. Anyway, he got a nice bye week to rest it up, and here's what he said about an hour and a half ago about this infamous toe.
Yeah, I can't tell you 100%. I got to see how it reacts on Sunday when I get back out there and play, but this was really, really positive, the time to heal and not do anything for now going on 10 days has been really, really helpful. So we're hoping that we can get on the other side of this. So we'll see how it recovers on Sunday or Monday.
I imagine him like having a little toe pillow and like a little bed for his toe. Okay, I promise I'm done. Adam, you have any sense of how this toe injury is affecting Aaron Rodgers' play?
Well, he didn't practice today, Laura, and I would imagine that this is something that he's going to have to deal with for the remainder of the season, and there may be other practices and practice time that he misses to try to nurse that toe during the course of the season and spread it out so that he can go out there on Sunday and be most effective. As he talked about yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, he spent part of the bye week in visiting with a doctor, Dr. Neil Elitrosh in Los Angeles, going over the options, decided not to have the surgery at this particular moment, figured it would be too painful to get through right now, and so he's going to have to manage that pain. And one of the ways he will do that is obviously not always practicing like he didn't today. Now, he doesn't need to practice. We've seen him go out there, miss practice with COVID, and still go out and be effective on Sunday. In a perfect world, he'd be out there practicing, wasn't practicing today.
Well, what I would say, Dr. Johnson, to tell you, Adam and Laura, that there's nothing wrong with Aaron Rodgers' toe. The dude threw for 307 yards. He was 28 of 45, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's been off 10 days. There's nothing wrong with his toe. I like it. I like the hype behind it. I like the fact that we have something to talk about because it's Aaron Rodgers. If he can play the way he played against the Rams, they're going to win the damn Super Bowl. Nothing wrong with that dude's toe.
Hey, you're putting him in the Super Bowl key for real?
If he can play the way he played against the Rams, yeah, there's a big shot and a chance that they're going to be in the Super Bowl.
Okay. You brought it back just a little bit, but listen, I like it, Key. I think you're right. He's at least battling with Tom Brady in some stretch of the imagination for that MVP award. Maybe he can go back-to-back. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers has won five straight against the Bears, one shy of matching his longest winning streak against them, including the playoffs. Dr. Johnson has entered the building, and let's get to the trenches with the guys. What we got? O-line versus D-line, boys. Oh, man. Face off.
Man, go ahead, man.
I gave you 3 seconds. We got some good matchups
this
week.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going back 2 weeks ago, and we're going to go Odafe Owe versus Jedrick Wills. What'd you say to me in the break?
Had a monster game against the Cleveland Browns. Okay. Was on Baker Mayfield, a lot of pressures, making plays in the backfield. This is actually when people start to really pay attention to him emerging as the best pass rusher for the Baltimore Ravens. So I look forward to seeing this matchup once again. What I don't want to see is the Cleveland Browns only rush 15 times between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Now to the greatest rapper of all time, Eminem. Will the real Von Miller please stand up? It's time to go.
It is time to go. It's playoff time. And Von actually is getting acclimated to what they do in Los Angeles. Everybody thought that this would take off fast because of Aaron Donald. But there's an understanding that comes along with defense. And with this Cardinals offense, which we just showed, the understanding and timing in the pass game, the run game, Von is going to have to make Von Miller-type impact plays if this team is going to continue on the right track.
I'm going to go to the Hall of Famer versus the face mask.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to put the face mask up, okay? There. Jonathan Allen versus Zach Martin.
First of all, I want to apologize to my little bro. We very close, talk a bunch, and we haven't paid enough attention to how well he's been playing.
Yeah. You said he's the most important person on the line.
He is the most important part of this defensive line for the Washington football team and actually the leader of that defense. Yeah. The way that they are playing is a direct correlation to Jonathan Allen and the way he's affecting quarterbacks. But between him and Deron Payne on the interior, this is a matchup everybody needs to keep their eyes on. It could end up impacting this game as much as we saw Chris Jones with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Number two, how many sacks he had last week?
Two.
Okay, but I'm putting a big fella up front.
Absolutely.
Okay, Cody Ford, this is a massive matchup against one of the best, if not the best, D tackles in football.
And I've been screaming, interior pass pressure has become more relevant than it has from the outside. Vita Vea, big physical presence. Obviously, we've talked about the Buffalo Bills run game and asserting themselves in that regard. That is where Cody really has his hands full. It's not that Vita can't rush the passer, but if you want to become a multiple offense and balance, you cannot let him wreck the game like Devon Godfrey did for the New England Patriots
last week. Last now, this is the best matchup of the weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes,
again, a Hall of Famer, but I'm going to put Zach, the guy who looks like he ate Zach Taylor and became just his bigger twin, Trey Hendrickson. He's accounted for 13 sacks created this year going against one of the best in the business.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Trent Williams is the best in the business. And when you look at Hendrickson, this is Mina Kimes' guy, so I hate to take shine away from him, but he's going up against a really athletic offensive tackle that could match him footwork. His hands, Trey Hendrickson's hands are going to be vitally important. He's a pass rusher, Dan. He gets after the passer as well as anybody in the entire football league. Got to win in the run game. That's where Trent really ascends with the speed, the ability to get you off balance and knock you down. I've been a victim of that before.
Hey, I figured out how to get you guys to be quiet for 5 seconds. Staring contest, face off, but it only lasts for 5 seconds. Somebody laugh, please. Who's winning? Marcus is losing. All right, still to come, Jerry Jones not happy with the Cowboys wide receivers. Who really is the problem in Dallas? We'll dive into it. Let's check back in on the staring contest. Anybody winning? Anybody losing? Dan, you lost. Oh, no. Lost. We'll be right back. We're back on NFL Live, and hey, take a gander at the Cowboys' schedule over the next 3 weeks as the team with massive expectations comes down the stretch. You'll notice heavy NFC East implications. The Cowboys and Washington face off two of the next 3 weeks, including this week. And Jerry Jones, you see him right there, he's not happy with a specific position group. He shared that this week.
The thing that you're seeing is sometimes the pass that looks errant is because the receiver, for instance, ran the route, cut it off 2 yards short, 2 more yards before he makes his cut. It can make all the difference in the world as far as his ability to separate. And so if you're not really crisp on the way the play was designed relative to how many yards you go, the cut, passing game can look really off. That's one of the answers. Better routes.
Marcus, we just heard that from Jerry said about it being the receivers. Who you think is right here?
Oh, Jerry, listen, man. You cut me a lot of checks, brother. For 8 years, a lot of checks. Set my family up for a great future. My kids still eating off them checks you cut.
Ooh.
I just hush on this one. Just hush on this one, man. Let it be within the building. Let it be within the facility. I understand that you sit in the meetings and you know what is going on. You're a football guy. We get it. Not now. Not when you just got your wide receiver back off COVID and your other wide receiver was out with a concussion and you're struggling a little bit with your offensive play call. Not now. Just not now. I get it. You write the checks. It's your building. It's your facility. You could do that. But the bottom line is this is not what your team needs right now to be said publicly by the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Please just absolve us of that, please.
You got it?
Well, look, here's what I would say about Jerry, Marcus, and you know. He's trying to take the pressure off of the quarterback. They on their way to a stretch run to try to win a division. They got the Washington football team up next. And as Dan pointed out, what you run into is you're going to run into analysts. You're going to run into people starting to say Dak Prescott is the reason the passing game isn't working. So the best thing that Jerry said is, you know what? I'm going to step out there and blame it on the receivers because quarterbacks tend to be sensitive when you start to talk negative about them. Wow. It is factual, and Dan knows this. I am not making this up. So you want to protect your quarterback. You paid him a bunch of money. You wrap your arms around him. You tell him it's going to be okay. And you pass the buck to the receivers because he knows the pulse of his team. What are you laughing at, Dan?
You sensitive?
First of all, it's not an opinion, Keyshawn. I just show tape of it.
You're correct.
No, but second of all, so he doesn't have to try to protect the $100 million receiver, Amari Cooper, or the first round draft pick in CeeDee Lamb?
No, because we're built different. We're built different. We're not a quarterback.
You don't want to talk negative about the quarterback.
You don't want to stress the quarterback up.
Here's my problem with it, from a football context, bro. The quarterback and the wide receivers against the Las Vegas Raiders made a final drive to put the offense up, all right? It was a pass interference along that drive with Derek Carr that allowed the Las Vegas Raiders to get in the field goal range. The offense did their job in crunch moment, Dak and receivers. And then we get last week against the New Orleans Saints. And, yes, we could point out the problems. But why in the hell would we point out problems about route running?
But here's my point. I'm not saying it's a lie, but it's not – like factual, what Jerry's saying. That's my issue.
Dan, you're right.
You're 100% right, Dan. My whole point is he's trying to protect the quarterback. He just wants to protect you, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, last year, sweater shout out.
Last year when people were trying to protect Carson Wentz, it wasn't okay, but not a
– oh, boy. Let me just point out that Dan's sweater is actually a woman's sweater. So if you talk about people being sensitive – And by the way, women are tougher than men anyway. Yeah, it's a women's XL. Women's sweater. Hey, ladies, you want a good sweater? Right here. We'll see you tomorrow. Ladies!